Hey everyone, it's Cardiff. Thank you for listening to The Indicator from Planet Money. I've got a super quick request for you. We would like to better understand who is listening to us and just more generally how you are using podcasts. So it would be a huge help if you would complete a short and anonymous survey at npr.org/podcast survey. It takes like 8 minutes and it really will help support the show. That's npr.org/podcast survey. And that last bit, podcast survey, that's all one word. And now, on to today's episode. Peter Lorentzen is an economist at the University of San Francisco. And Peter says that it is important for economists to study not just economic policies, but sometimes also politics itself. So which candidate is up in the polls? Who's down? And what do politicians have to do to win elections? Those kinds of questions. And that is especially if you want to understand why it is that politicians so often choose policies that are bad economics.
So then the question is, what can we look at about their incentives, their motivations for getting reelected or staying in power, you know, whatever political system they are, and how does that induce them to do things which may not be in the interests of their citizens and might not sound economically rational if you're just a public policy person, but do sound rational if you're looking about how you stay in power.
And the political system that Peter has recently studied is the one in China, where Xi Jinping rules the country as the general secretary of the Politburo Standing Committee, which has 7 members. Back in 2012, Xi launched a massive corruption crackdown on political and military officials, and on others throughout the country, and it led to indictments of thousands of thousands of people in the process. And so a natural question to ask is, was this an actual attempt to go after actually corrupt officials? Or was it a political maneuver by Xi Jinping to further consolidate his own power within China? Well, Peter studied that question in one of his recent papers. And after the break, you'll hear the actually kind of surprising answer from my conversation with Peter earlier this year at the American Economics Association annual meetings, where he was presenting the findings of that paper.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, NCR. NCR believes in small businesses. That's why they built NCR Silver. More than a point of sale, NCR Silver delivers big enterprise management tools built for small business owners. NCR Silver. Search NCR Silver. Support also comes from Mizzen & Main, creators of moisture-wicking, wrinkle-resistant dress shirts that require no ironing or dry cleaning. Head to mizzenandmain.com and use code NPR at checkout to receive $10 off your dress shirt.
Okay, let's turn now to the paper you presented here at the AEA's. Can you tell us a little bit about the topic?
So this is a paper about the corruption crackdown that's happening in China. So under China's current top leader, General Secretary Xi Jinping, who took power in 2012, there's been this massive wave of arrests and detentions of officials under corruption charges. And so what this paper looks at is, you know, why is that happening?
Okay, so two options here. Is this a sincere crackdown that's actually targeting corrupt political officials, getting rid of them and trying to clean up the system so that the Chinese bureaucracy works better and so that it's more competent? Or is it just an attempt by Chairman Xi to get rid of some of the connections to his political rivals and thereby consolidate his power in China? Is that basically it?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, and what did you find?
It was really both. We think the corruption goal was the primary one, but we definitely see evidence that Xi Jinping protected people who were connected to him.
Okay, so it was both. This was all of the above, basically.
Yes, that's right.
How did you actually figure this out? Because I have to imagine that there are quite a few methodological challenges to studying corruption in China and how it's targeted.
Right. Corruption is really difficult to study anywhere because, of course, people try really hard to hide it. So what we did is we looked basically at who was getting promoted in different parts of China, and we found that people who were promoted despite not having good economic performance were more likely to get arrested for corruption later. In most of China, you get promoted for having the right skill set and for performance in terms of economic development. in these provinces where a lot of arrests were occurring, people seemed to be getting promoted even though they didn't have the usual background and training, and they didn't have a record of economic performance. And so what we take from that is that these people may have actually been more corrupt. Maybe they bought their job, things like that. And that so that supports the idea that really corruption and crackdown was going for the people who were most corrupt.
And then what did you find about the people who were connected to Chairman Xi versus the people who were connected to his other rivals in the Politburo Standing Committee?
So what we found about the people connected to Xi Jinping is that the people who had a strong connection to him, none of them were arrested. Whereas people who had a connection to other members of the Politburo Standing Committee seemed to be fair game. We looked specifically at one group of elite provincial officials, and within that group of close to 300 people, none of those who were connected to Xi were arrested, whereas people who were connected to other top leaders did get arrested.
So it sounds like maybe we should have mixed feelings about these findings, right? On the one hand, it's possible that, yes, the Chinese bureaucratic system is going to work a little bit better because so many corrupt officials were taken out of there. On the other hand, it's probably becoming more authoritarian because now you have Xi Jinping in full control, and it's obvious. People now know that if you're connected to him, you're protected, but if you're connected to somebody else, you're totally fair game. Okay, and what about the U.S.-China economic relationship? Does a more consolidated authority in China in combination with a more competent bureaucracy have any effect on the existing relationship?
I think there's a lot of things going on in the relationship and going on with how Xi Jinping is approaching China's role in the world. And for my research specifically, I think it just shows that he's really going to be able to, whatever he wants to do, he's probably going to be able to do. That could be good. One problem with U.S.-China interactions in the past has been that we come to an agreement with their top leaders in Beijing, and then we assume that they can do it because we think, oh, well, they're authoritarians. They can do whatever they want. But actually, because of the flexibility that was built into the system and the lack of control, the same lack of control that leads to corruption and also leads to economic innovation, also means, you know, if we say, please enforce our intellectual property rights and please, you know, do certain things according to international treaties, the ability of Beijing to actually carry that out in, you know, all the provinces and prefectures and towns around the country was more limited. Now, I think with Xi Jinping's consolidation of power, if he really cares about something, it's more likely he could actually make it happen.
Peter Lawrenson, thanks so much, man. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafieyan and edited by Patty Hirsch. The Indicator is a production of NPR.